As you were driving in today, you most certainly passed a speed limit sign. Now, whether you paid attention to it or not is another matter, but nevertheless, there was a speed limit sign there. And there's a limit to how fast you should drive, depending on the type of road you're on, what authorities have deemed a safe speed to drive. Yeah, but even if you had your car on an open highway with no speed limit, there's still only how fast your car will go. It will only go so far. Even with the pedal to the metal, it can only go so fast. So everything physical has limitations. Trees outside will only grow so tall. And we only grow so tall. So in our physical state, we have limitations. And I'm sure we're all aware of some of our limitations. Especially the older you get, they become a little more obvious. Used to be able to jump high and run fast. But even in the younger days, it was only so high and only so fast. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 103. We'll read verses 15 through 16. Well, there are many verses in the Bible that recognize our human limitations. So I picked out a couple here for us to read. Psalm 103, verse 15. It says, "As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes." Verse 16, "For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more." Let's turn to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. Genesis 6 and verse 3, it says, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with a man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years." And that's if you're blessed enough to live 120 years. But God has set limits on our fleshly bodies. How about our mental capacity, our understanding and comprehension? You know, mankind has invented a lot of incredible things. As we speak, new inventions, technologies are being developed. And you can look at some of the scientific discoveries and technological advances and think, wow, are there any limits to what man can do? Can you imagine if someone from 2,000 years ago was somehow transported to present time? Can you imagine what they would think when they saw what we have, you know, the technological advancements we have today? Well, imagine they would be pretty shocked. But all the things that we have accomplished, there's not anything that man has created from nothing. Certainly we've discovered a lot of things and learned how to manipulate them. But these things are all from God's creation. He put things here for us to discover and figure out. Turn to Job chapter 14. Job chapter 14, we'll read verse 5. There's talking about our limitations in a more broader terms. Job 14 and verse 5. Since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you. You have appointed his limits so that he cannot pass. The NIV puts it like this. It says, a person's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed. So we are flesh, we are corruptible, and we are limited in our mental capacity, only able to understand so much. God has determined our limits that we can't surpass. And even the most intellectually gifted have limits in their understanding. I'll just read Psalm chapter 139 and verse 6. It says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. And we'll read this verse together here in a little bit in context. If you're still in Job, let's turn over to chapter 11. Job chapter 11, we'll read verse 7. Job is asked a rhetorical question. Job 11, verse 7. Can you search out the deep things of God? Can you find out the limits of the Almighty? Well, the answer is obviously no, not Job or any of us in our current human condition can understand the deep things of God. So we have varying limitations. We sometimes project our limitations on others. And we hear that the word project, you might hear it in political realms where a politician accuses another of something they're actually doing themselves. They're projecting. The word project, it's a verb that means to throw or cast. And for instance, when I'm with my wife watching The Three Stooges, I'm sure she finds it as humorous and enjoyable as I do. Because we all know women love The Three Stooges, right? No, but that's projecting my feelings on her. I'm assuming she feels the same as I do. After all, we're all humans. We have a lot of the same tendencies. We're all different in various ways. Let's turn to Titus chapter 1. We'll read verse 15. We can project our own personal limitations on others who may not realize it. Titus 1, verse 15 says, to the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. Now, nothing is pure to them. They see others as they are. We can see this tendency to project our own views, emotions, or limitations on others. How about God? That we sometimes project our limitations on God. As we mentioned earlier, we all have limitations. Sometimes we create a false image of God in our minds by projecting our limits on Him. For this message, we're going to look at this tendency we may have, and we'll look at some true descriptions of God and how we can dispel our tendencies to project our limitations on Him. The title of this message will be Having the Proper Perspective of God. Let's turn to Psalm 78. So do we sometimes project our limitations on God? We have. We're not the first. Psalm 78, we'll read verses 40 through 42. Many in the Bible have projected on God. The Israelites coming out of Egypt did. Psalm 78, verse 40 says, how often they provoked Him in the wilderness and grieved Him in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Why did they limit Him? Well, verse 42 says, they did not remember His power. The day He redeemed them from the enemy. They didn't remember His power. They had forgotten what He had done for them. And in their minds, they turned Him into something that they could only understand in their world. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Read verses 21 through 23. Scriptures tell us what can happen if we forget God's power and limit Him. Romans 1 and verse 21 says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds, four-footed animals, and creeping things. He had the wrong perspective of God. The Bible many times relates what our perception of Him should be. For example, Exodus 20 verse 4 says, you shall not make for yourself a carved image. No, we don't have physical carved images we display. But do we develop an image of God in our minds that's inferior to His true being? We can project limitations on God and create other images of Him when we don't have the proper image of Him fixed in our minds. Yeah, when the Israelites came out of Egypt, they were tremendously excited and encouraged. For the first time, as far as that generation was concerned, they experienced freedom. They had witnessed the awesome power of God that resulted in their freedom. They witnessed His power that guided, protected, and sustained them. But still, they limited Him. They didn't remember His power. And so they lost the right perspective of God. We can't put God into our own little box of reality. In the Westminster Shorter Catechism, there's a worthy attempt at a description or definition of God. And it says, God is spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. So that's a pretty good description, much as a human could muster in one sentence. But spirit, infinite, eternal. These words we all know the meanings of. But in our limited understanding, can we fully comprehend what they actually mean? Let's turn to Deuteronomy 29. This description was inadequate, though it's a worthy description. But God is really too big for us to define him in our own thoughts and ideas. But yes, we're limited in our understanding. God doesn't leave us hanging. We have his word that shows us who he is. Deuteronomy 29, and we'll read verse 29. It says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So the secret things of God are revealed to us, and we do the words of his law. Turn to Psalm 147. We'll look at some scriptures that we should meditate on and keep in our thoughts. Words that help us to have the correct image of God in our minds. Psalm 147. And we'll read verses 3 through 5. Says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the numbers of the stars. He calls them by name. Great is the Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. I'll just read Luke 1 verse 37. It says, For with God, nothing will be impossible. Revelation 1 and verse 8 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Concepts hard for us to really get our head around. You're still in Psalmist. Turn over to Psalms 145. Read verse 3. Psalm 145, verse 3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Flip over to Psalm 139. Begin in verse 1. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. In other words, you protected me on all sides. Verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. God's ability to know these things about all of us is beyond our capacity to fully understand. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Verse 7, Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? God is everywhere. Turn to Job 37. A verse we sometimes may overlook because of its familiarity, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We take time to meditate on the gravity of that verse, what it means. It shows us how amazing God is. Job 37, let's begin in verse 5. It says, God's voice thunders in marvelous ways. He does great things beyond our understanding. He says to the snow, fall on the earth, and to the rain shower, be a mighty downpour. So that everyone he has made may know his work. He stops all the people from their labor. The animals take cover. They remain in their dens, showing how his weather conditions affect us. The tempest comes, verse 9, the tempest comes out of from its chamber, the cold from the driving winds. The breath of God produces ice, and the broad waters become frozen. He loads the clouds with moisture. He scatters his lightning through them. At his direction, they swirl around over the face of the whole earth to do whatever he commands them. He brings the clouds to punish people or to water his earth and show his love. So we read God, how God controls the elements. Verse 14, listen to this, Job. Stop and consider God's wonders. Meditate on his greatness. Let's drop down to verse 23. The Almighty is beyond our reach and exalted in power. In his justice and great righteousness, he does not oppress. Therefore, people revere him. For does he not have regard for all the wise in the earth? I'm sorry, in heart. Turn to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. Scripture describing God's character that we are to develop. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. This is the image of God we want to have in our minds, his majesty, his righteousness. Yeah, there are, Mr. Parks mentioned that Satan is out there with forces that will try to alter our image of God. And even though we may have a proper image of him in our minds, will that image hold up in times of trial and tragedy? These are volatile times. I'm sure we're all aware of an event that happened last week, an assassination attempt on a potential president. Had that had another outcome, I imagine we'd be living in a much different environment in our country right now. And so we see how things can change on a dime. We want to keep the right perspective of God in our minds. Let's turn to Daniel 3. Familiar story here. Look at some individuals here that did not project their personal limitations on God. We all remember the account of Daniel's friends. They had the right image of God. King Nebuchadnezzar had built a gigantic image. He expected everyone to bow down to it. It was reported to the king that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not doing so. They were brought before the king. Daniel 3, let's pick it up in verse 13. We're reading from the NIV. Daniel 3 and verse 13. It's furious with rage. Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter." They had already determined that God is God, and only him would they worship. Neither Nebuchadnezzar, nor huge idol, or man, was going to alter their thinking on that matter. Verse 17. They continue, "If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." And as we know, Nebuchadnezzar was furious. And he cranked the heat up in the furnace and threw them in. But God rescued them. They were not burned. Their clothes weren't burned. They remembered God's power. So this was an extreme situation. But we want to use this example when our own trials arise. These three men gave us an example of true faith and courage from having the right image of God. They trusted in his will, whether they were burned up or saved. Let's turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, I'll begin in verse 9. Paul, expressing his desire that we increase in our knowledge and perspective of God. Colossians 1 and verse 9. It says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." The more we increase in our knowledge, the clearer, better picture, perspective becomes of God. Verse 11, "Strengthen with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience, long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. That gives us quite an image of the one we are to become like. So it is a human tendency to try to project our limits on others, on God. By developing an image in our mind that's not God, we limit our ability to grow and become more like him in Jesus Christ. That's why prayer and Bible study is so important. Prayer helps us to develop a relationship with God. Bible study gives us factual information about our Creator, tells us who he is. And his Holy Spirit working in us increases our understanding, gives us wisdom and ability to do what God expects. Let's turn to John chapter 3. So we've talked about our limitations, but is there something we're not limited in? John 3, read verse 34. John the Baptist speaking here, speaking about Jesus. John 3, verse 34. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. The NIV puts it this way. For the one whom God has sent speaks the word of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2. Are we using God's unlimited spirit like we should? That's where we will get a deeper understanding. Most of the world doesn't have. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. As now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. God's Spirit gives us better understanding of him. So let's let not any image that we've created from our own weaknesses, our own infirmities or struggles, but on God, we want to conform to him, his image. He created us in his image for the purpose of becoming like him. We must develop the character attributes of God, not follow some imperfect concept of our own imagination. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 1, verse 9 for a final scripture. All of us have limitations. We sometimes create a false image of God in our minds by projecting those limitations. Well, let's remember who we are. We are limited. We are corruptible. We are finite. Even with our limitations, God does give us his Spirit without limit. Through his Spirit, we're able to have the understanding we need to live the life God wants us to live. And let's not forget who God is. His power, his righteousness. He is the beginning and the end, the Almighty. God is unlimited. He is perfect. He is ever present in our lives. Joshua 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.